If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Good morning. Wake up!
The Early Line.
Line up!
Rise and shine, sports investors. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It is Friday, February 21st. Let's cop the doodle do it. This is the Early Line right here on Sports Grid. I'm just trying to
say, let's cock a doodle do it.
Who is still in for Joe Ranieri? We're making it happen here on a Friday as we slide into a big weekend. And we got a lot to discuss, okay? There were six games in the NBA last night as they get back into action. A full college basketball slate to break down. And we will look ahead to the weekend. A huge weekend in college basketball. The NBA getting back into full steam. We got a fight night in Vegas. We got week three of the XFL. And we're going to continue talking Major League Baseball as spring training is on and popping. Jared, I got to tell you something, though. Okay, we were talking about the NBA. We were talking about one game, the Nets and the Sixers last night. But we found out that Kyrie Irving will not be available for the Nets for the rest of the season. It looks like he's going to have surgery on that shoulder. My question, though, for you, Jared, is that really a bad thing for the Nets?
The numbers didn't really dictate that it was 8-12 without it or with him this year. And now 17-17 with them. They were in that game last night. They probably should have won that game. They went on some crazy, like, 35-4 run in, like, the middle of the game. And then they kind of collapsed late. And then the Sixers won, almost covered in overtime. If you didn't get a favorable number, they did cover in overtime. We gave out 8.5 on the morning show yesterday. That was a winner by the hook, so barely. But I think the Nets actually do have a bit of an issue here because – if they play well down the stretch, Dane, there's going to be some people that are going to start to say, well, why did we spend all this money on these two guys? And, you know, the jury's out on what Kevin Durant brings to the table. But I would say right now they're a better team without Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. We will dig into that a little bit more, but that's why you listen to the Early Line, because if you bet it with us at about 7:30 yesterday morning, you were a winner. If you waited until it moved till about 6.5, you were not. We will dig into the Nets, the Eastern Conference, the entire NBA, and their stretch run to the playoffs, all that and more on the other side of the break here. It is the Early Line on Sports Grid. But before we get into that, we got my man Dan Stratford, who's going to get us caught up on all the news and notes overnight of what happened in the sports world. So we give it to Dan Stratford. When we come back, we dig into this NBA. It's getting crazy, people. Dan, what happened overnight, man?
Sports Grid news update.
Well, Dane, big news out of the NFL. The NFL owners have approved the new collective bargaining agreement proposal. Now goes to the NFL Players Association for consideration. Some things to consider. The Washington Post, Mark Mask, reports the league is expected to expand the 2020 postseason to 14 teams, quote, even if the players fail to ratify the proposed CBA. The NFL's proposed collective bargaining agreement would increase the in-season roster size from 53 to 55. Other changes would include curbing the commissioner's power in disciplinary cases and softening marijuana punishments. NBC Denver's Mike Kliss reports Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy has officially turned down the University of Colorado's head coaching job. In injury news from the NFL, Browns wideout Jarvis Landry is expected to be sidelined 6 to 8 months after his February 4th operation on his hip. In Major League Baseball, Cubs manager David Ross noted Thursday that Ian Happ will primarily play center field this spring. Aaron Judge of the Yankees is expected to resume hitting Friday in Yankees camp. Judge has held off from swinging a bat this week after showing up to Yankees camp with some crankiness and soreness in his right shoulder. We await word on Luis Severino's forearm. He said he had soreness there dating back to last season. He's set to meet a doctor today. In the NBA, as Dan mentioned, General Manager Sean Marks confirmed Kyrie Irving will have arthroscopic surgery and will miss the rest of the season. That surgery will be on his shoulder. Top performers from around the association on Thursday night. Trae Young went off 50 points, 8 assists, 2 steals, 2 rebounds, a blocked shot. He shot 12 of 25, 8 of 15 from three-point range in the 129-124 Atlanta Hawks win over the Miami Heat. Joel Embiid, 39 points, 16 rebounds as the Sixers bounce back in overtime to beat the Nets 112-104. I'm Dan Stratford, and this has been your Sports Grid News Update.
All right, thanks a lot there, Dan. You know, one of the things Dan mentioned was that in this collective bargaining agreement, there may be softer penalties for marijuana. I don't know if that's the case if you're holding 157 pounds, but I digress. maybe we'll dig into
nothing
that.
Nothing soft about that, Dan.
That's what I'm saying. Like, okay, I understand. Maybe you get caught with a joint car or something, but 157 pounds with my man Greg Robinson is a little bit different. Our guys over at RotoWear, they've already made shirts to commemorate the issue. I will leave it at that. But Jared, we were talking about this big time game in the Eastern Conference. The Sixers take down the Nets in overtime, 112-104. And here's the thing for me, Jared, because listen, you see Joel Embiid in this game, right? 39 points, 16 boards, a plus 24 plus minus. Okay, Jared, and we all day yesterday were talking about positionless basketball, how the center is going away. You know, Andre Drummond gets traded for nothing. The Rockets didn't want Capella. And, you know, Embiid, though, is kind of the best big man in this league, and you can see that it still can work. I mean, he had a monster night last night, and if they can do this, right, if Embiid looks good, then all of a sudden, the Sixers are a much more dangerous animal, Jared.
Yeah, they outscored the Nets 9-1 in overtime. To me, that was kind of the finishing blow, and Brooklyn just totally collapsed down the stretch. They only scored 25 points in the fourth quarter after scoring 32 in the second. They went on a crazy run. They outscored Philly 32-16 in the second quarter. They doubled up the Sixers in the second quarter. Yeah. And I actually watched that game from start to finish. Embiid had some sweet Euro step in the second half. And when you watch his game, Dane, he's got a little Hakeem and he's got a little bit of magic. Like, it's like a very interesting mix where he can kind of be a guy that can move up and down the floor like magic, but then he can be a guy that can just bludgeon you in the posts like, you know, the dream would. And it is fascinating to watch his game. Now, they were without Ben Simmons last night, with him. Had back stiffness, a very late announcement. And that's why the line moved from 8.5. I think it closed, as you said, somewhere in the mid-sixes, 6.5, 7, depending on where you did your shopping. But, the Sixers are a really dangerous team, 26-2 at home. We mentioned how talented they are. But, again, they had a stretch in that game, Dane, where if any other legitimate, powerful contender was facing them, they would have lost by 30. Because you just can't have lapses like that. I think it was 35-4. I think that was the run mid-game where they were down 15 at one point, then they were up 15, the Nets were.
Yeah.
So, the talent is there for Philly. Certainly, they've got the ability to go deep in the playoffs, but I question the consistency. I question the mental toughness. You just can't have 30-point lapses in the middle of games. You're going to get blown out in the playoffs if that happens. So, you just have to continue to stay consistent, and that's something that Philly has struggled with this year. I feel bad for anyone who didn't get 8.5 last night because that was a really bad cover for Philly. Right. They had no business covering that game. But, again, they show you those flashes, Dane, where they could be a title contender.
Exactly, and that's why they're so frustrated when you're actually deciding on do you want to put some money behind them, right? Because you see this and you know they are capable. I also tell you, I think in the playoffs, when you play a game every 3 or 4 days, it may even behoove them, it may help them, right, to try to figure out what ails them and make adjustments from game to game. These guys might be healthy, but I don't know if I can actually have faith because of what you say, the inconsistency on a night in, night out basis. You know, they have to win 16 games against strong competition. But when you see nights like this and when you see performances from Embiid like this, you realize that they are, in fact, capable. I will say this, though, Jared, as we go to another game in the Eastern Conference that was interesting to me, talk about being capable. I'm talking about my man Trae Young down in Hotlanta last night.
Oh, he was hot.
Putting up a 50-burger, okay, going 8 for 15 from 3, over 50% from 3. Got to the line 19 times, Jared, on his way to 50 points. You know, you and me were both talking about the Heat as a team that we could watch that can, you know, switch on everything, be a threat to Giannis and the Bucks. Well, they went into Atlanta yesterday and lost by 5, 129-124 the final. Our guy Bam Adebayo had a great game, getting 19 boards. But Jared, this was all about Trae Young.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because we talked about him in the 3-point contest last week, and to me the biggest, like, no bet on him was because this guy doesn't take threes from the line, like the 3-point line. He takes threes from the logo. So he's going to be uncomfortable taking threes at a normal 25-foot distance. He wants to take them at 30 feet, and he had a couple last night. And the Heat are another one of those interesting teams because we talked about the ability to switch screens and what Bam Adebayo can do at the top. He actually was guarding Trae across half court a couple times, and he just didn't get out above the 3-point line to guard him, and Trae just made him pay. Several occasions where Trae would just walk it across half court and just fire it from, like, the logo. And to me, that it's not a sustainable offense, and that's why the Hawks just have 16 wins this year. But, man, oh, man, when he shows you those flashes, you put a couple of guys around Trae Young, Dane, and the sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they are trying to do. This is another team with a young core, whether it's Collins. Remember, these guys drafted Cam Reddish, you know, this year. So they are building.
We haven't seen Capella yet either.
That's true. So they're still building. We'll talk about what went down in the West on the other side of the break. Your line here on Sports Grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of Cal Hope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
On the Sports Grid Network.
Welcome back to the early line right here on Sports Grid. Friday, February 21st. Dane Martinez and Jared Smith holding you down. Jared, I don't know if you caught any of Fantasy Freestyle yesterday. Did you hear me go off on my new hashtag buzz out campaign?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of it during the break here. You know, it's funny because when you look at a guy like Altuve, you know, the court of public opinion, which is the word I keep going back to, is just so unfavorable against this team right now. And, you know, we talked to Bill Ripken yesterday, who truly believes, and I'm with him, that this is not just an open and shut case. This is going to be a lingering psychological drain on this team throughout the course of the season. Because, and the reason why I say that is, you know, usually athletes are really good at blocking stuff out. But when you, every single ballpark that they go into,
every city,
the visiting media is going to have their crack. And they're going to get so fed up and they're going to get so tired of having these questions. They're going to start kicking media out of the locker rooms. They're going to make it very hard to give access to this team. And it's going to turn them into the actual villains, like the Penguin, yep. Like where you just like he was like this isolated character that just stood in the corner and just terrorized the entire town of Gotham.
Yep.
Like that is going to be the Astros this year. And I don't know how they're going to mentally handle that. When you go from the beloved team to the villains, that is a big psychological reach. And I think there's going to be some players that are going to struggle with it. There's going to be some players that will thrive off of it because some players do like that.
Use it as fuel. Yeah, right.
Exactly. But we're going to find out very early on that first month of the season if it's going to have an effect on their play. To me, that's the most important thing here. How are they going to respond? Because they're still one of the most talented teams in baseball. So at their peak, they should still be a playoff team, if not a World Series contender. But I just don't know what the long-term effect is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to wear on them as well. And I personally like Oakland and the Angels to potentially take advantage. But Jared, what I'm doing is I'm going to try to find a captain in every major league city they go to. Okay. You can go on Amazon and get packs of like 10 of those little gag buzzers for like $10. Okay. So I'm going to get a captain in each city. And all they're going to do is hand them out to fans as they're walking.
Oh, my goodness.
And the instruction for anybody in the sound of my voice, the instruction in hashtag Buzz Altuve is his first at bat when he's walking from the on deck circle to the batter's box, release them joints and throw them at him. Can you imagine, Jared, if every city he goes to in his first at bat, like dozens of buzzers just rain upon him every city. And then I'm not going to have liability because I'm just handing out.
You're just the brainchild.
I'm not throwing them. I'm just trusting in fandom that something amazing will happen. Like you said, right? They're going to turn into the villains every city they go. Imagine if they have to deal with that. Imagine when road guys that do like the music, when their walk-up songs.
Oh, yeah.
Walk-up song is like, I saw the sign.
I actually like that song a lot. I'm a big Ace of Base guy. You know what the funny thing is, though, Dane, is, you know, you kind of look at this team and – you know, when you look at baseball as a whole, it's a very chummy sport because the guys don't, you know, the players on opposite teams, other than the pitchers, they're kind of on opposite fields. You know, you don't really face them head to head like football. The offense and the defense is like a collision. You know, Jose Altuve and Aaron Judge are friends, you know, like they don't like face off against each other. So pregame, they're very chummy. Usually they're in the outfield, they're warming up, they're dabbing it up, they're high fiving, blah, blah, blah. What's it going to be like every game now for the Astros? Is that going to go away? And to me, that means it's going to be like a playoff feel with every single game for them where the stakes are just so high because you just don't know what the attitudes of both teams are going to be. You know the team. You know the Yankees are pissed off. I don't know. I haven't watched or listened to the clips of every other team, but I've heard Mike Trout. I've heard a lot of other guys very upset. And, you know, this is going to change the dynamic of when you go to an Astros game on the road. Say you're an Angels fan or an Athletics fan, you go to one of those road games. It's just going to change the dynamic of how these teams interact pregame. I'm very curious to see what those pregame conversations are between these players now.
Yeah, absolutely. All I'm saying is we got it. There it is.
Actually a catchy tune.
It is. They're gonna play. They're gonna hear it so much. I'll say this, Jared.
A good one,
they open the season in Oakland. Let's just say I already have a branch of hashtag Buzz Altuve ready to go.
And Oakland's one of those weird places that plays a lot of weird music. It used to be Josh Reddick. They used to play Careless Whisper. And now, ironically enough, Reddick is on the Astros now. But you know, it's just funny to kind of see the evolution of this, because I think the Astros are so, like, they were so insincere with the apologies.
I know.
And now they're like, basically like, oh, well, forget about it. Or they're trying
to
downplay it,
but it's not.
Yeah. You don't get to be the judge, jury and executioner of when we move on from this. This is a story the whole year. This is not going to end ever. Like this season, forget it. Like this is going to be a story all season long. And if they don't make the playoffs, everyone's going to say, oh, see what happens when you don't have your help, when you don't have your crutch.
That's right. That's right. And we'll see. You know, I mean, you're right. It's not going away. Mike Bolsinger, the former Blue Jay, is suing them. So we'll keep an eye out on that.
That's just crazy.
And honestly, if he wins, other players are going to follow suit. All right.
Yeah.
He actually alerted Jim Crane to the lawsuit, but I digress. You're right. We will be talking about that for the next 6 months. So let's get back into the action in the association, Jared. Last night out west, you know, one of the teams we were talking about a little bit yesterday were the Houston Rockets, yep. right? Because they have decided to shove all in on their style of play. And, you know, off air, we were talking about it. It's like in college football playing against one of the service academies, against the Wishbone, right? Like, you're just not, you're the triple option. You're just not used to it. It's harder to prepare for. You know, it's not what you're used to seeing. And listen, the Houston Rockets put up 135 points last night, Jared. I remember asking you, like, the most important question in the NBA will be, like, what is the three-point shooting percentage of the Houston Rockets?
Pretty good.
Tonight basis. Well, last night it was 51% as they hit 25 of 49 threes. And honestly, Jared, they spread it around, right? Harden 29, Westbrook 21, Covington, who's like playing the middle for them, 20. And then I see like five different players with five boards.
Yeah.
For Rockets. So in essence, when they're deciding that this is the way they want to play, this is like exhibit A of how it can work well, right, Jared?
I'll preface it with this. So you get this team, and it is the Warriors, so I don't want to read too much into this particular performance. Also, the first game, and this is why the first game post-All-Star break is so hard to handicap, because you just don't know who's in a hot streak shooting, how are they going to come out. Clearly, Houston had no issues with the long layoff, and it was a very long layoff. Houston hasn't played in 8 days. That was the eighth day last night that they hadn't played a game, and they had no rust at all. The Rockets are a matchup problem for teams now. Yeah. Robert Covington coming basically out of nowhere in this trade that they made with Capella. He's the big piece coming back for Houston. And what he's done now is he's given them a 6'7" matchup nightmare. Covington, 5 of 10 from 3, 5 rebounds, 4 blocks. He's their big man, Dane. He is their big man. P.J. Tucker will mix it up a little bit in the middle. But P.J. Tucker, actually, who went 5 for 5 from 3-point last night, isn't the stretch player that Covington can be because he's a little bit longer. And again, what you've done now, Tucker, Covington, House, Harden, Westbrook, all five of those guys are going to be asked to guard all five positions on the floor. And when they face the Lakers with Davis, when they face the Nuggets with Jokic, they're going to struggle to rebound inside. Same thing with the Jazz and Gobert. You mentioned you like the Gobert prop when they face the Jazz. And that's a good place to kind of find a little bit of value. But what I'll say is what the Rockets are starting to do, and I believe, so it was basically an even rebounding matchup last night. The Warriors had 41 rebounds and the Rockets had 36. If they can make threes consistently and not get totally dominated on the glass, plus 10, plus 20, then they can make a major, major dent in what we think is the average matchup kind of situation for these NBA teams where you're going in thinking you're going to get a break. You're not going to have to go out and guard the big man at the top of the key. Well, guess what? If Covington catches it at the top of the key, your center better get out there really quick or else it's going right down the middle. So they've created an interesting little dynamic here where the Western Conference is filled with bigs and now they have a little bit of versatility in these matchups. I'm very fascinated. You know, Houston's always been that team that's been a step away. Maybe this is that last little push, that last little catalyst to get them over the top and to get them in an NBA Finals. I doubt it, but who knows? It's certainly better than what we've seen in years past where they've just been so stale on the defensive end that anyone can slice and dice them.
It's almost like, Jared, you know, they've kind of like you said, they maxed out how far they could go with their current roster, or with their old roster and their old approach. And they saw that the only way to kind of take that next step was, in essence, to double down on it. Right, Jared?
To be different.
And to be like, listen, this is who we're going to be. We're going to live or die by this. They shoot 51% from three, Jared.
Yeah.
If they can do that 4 out of 7 games against anybody, they are going to win and advance. But here's my question, and you mentioned it before. Next time the Rockets are out, they are in Utah, okay? And so right now, Golden State last night, you know, they don't really pose a huge threat in the middle. On Saturday, they're going to be in Utah against Rudy Gobert. How does that change? How does that change what you see? How does that change the narrative? How does that change the approach? I told you I'm going to be very interested to see Gobert's points plus rebounds prop. And if it's anything below, like, you know, 32, I'm going to take it. You know what I mean? So how does that change the dynamic? Because most of these teams out West do have that kind of big man. We reeled off the names.
You know, it's funny because I remember last Saturday, or it was two Saturdays ago, the Rockets played the Jazz, and I was thinking the same thing, and the Gobert prop did not hit. It was under. And it could have just been an off night, and it could hit this time around, but I do think the gang mentality is where Houston's going to have to thrive. Westbrook and Harden had 10 assists each last night. If those guys become distributors now,
yeah,
and set up these big men three-point shooters, it'd be interesting.
Could they be playing the beautiful game? All right. When we come back on the side, we find out why the conglomerate doesn't always work on sports.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHope, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHope at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
What is this song? Where did you find this, Pavonia?
You never saw Doug?
Oh, that's right. It was Doug.
But therein lies my point, Jared.
That's great, Dane.
Absolutely. Our guy, Chris Pavonia, is having fun with this, right? In the pit of misery,
let's
do to be witty, be creative, and mess with them.
I've never heard that song before. Oh, man, my hair's on.
Thousands and thousands of fans, whether it's buzzer related, whether it's garbage can related, they are going to endure this for the next 6 months, and therein lies the point. Keep them going.
Man, I never thought Doug would be a metaphor for our sports culture society today.
That call with banging on the trash can.
I mean, you can't make it up. I mean, you can't make up the parallels there, right?
But you know what we should also bring back for the Astros? Remember in 2010 World Cup, the Vuvuzelas?
The Vuvuzelas.
Yeah. Astros under 4.5 wins may be the play. But Jared, listen, we were on the same page yesterday, brother, right? We were talking about futures bets left and right that we liked. You know, we were really kind of, we were simpatico, and I gave out that I liked the Memphis Grizzlies last night. You even then on social media, I saw last night, threw a couple shekels just for the sake of the conglomerate. Ultimately, it did not happen, so I'm sorry you lit your money on fire, Jared, but they went into Sacramento and go down 129-125. We also both spent the better part of an hour yesterday slurping Ja Morant, and quite frankly, he did have a good game. 19 points, sure. Minus 25 plus
five turnovers.
Turnovers. That's the thing.
Only
five,
two assists.
Exactly the point. Meanwhile, on the other side, guys like Harrison Barnes and DeAndre Fox go off. They combine for 58 points. They also combine to go 11 for 17 from behind the arc. Was Ja Morant listening yesterday? What's going on here?
Well, I'll say this, and you know, this is a young Grizzlies team, and when you go on the road after a long break, it doesn't surprise me that they came out a little flat. I'll say this. We got a very interesting performance from another young gun last night on this team that I'm going to keep my eye on down the stretch, and that's Tyus Jones. And you remember Tyus Jones from his Duke days, very good point guard. He actually had the best game of any guard on this team last night. Coming off the bench, he had 16 points, 6 assists in 18 minutes, and He's a guy, and again, this is a young team. John Morant, Dylan Brooks, that's the core. Jaren Jackson Jr., that's the core going forward. But they're going to need other guys to step up. And this Grizzlies team, I think they're still a year away from being an it team.
Sure.
But when you get performances like that from Tyus Jones, Brandon Clark's been great as well. When you get these types of performances off the bench and you start to weave these young players into the fabric of what Morant and Brooks and Jackson are starting to develop there in Memphis, you start to build a culture, Dane, that goes past just, oh, we've got this star player, let's let him do his thing. Now they're starting to build this culture of strong, young, athletic players stepping up in big moments. Morant's going to get his. He just had a rough game. I think going forward, this Memphis team is very dangerous. And again, last night's game aside, this is a team that knows how to get to the basket. They know how to, you know, win with a little flash and you know, a little bit of pizzazz. Now they've got to learn when they're in a tough dogfight like they were last night. Sacramento dropped 70 in the first half on them. They were shooting it all over from three. They've got to figure out how to adjust and defend. Because we know offensively this team's really good, but now they're starting to hit that wall where these young players are playing 50, 60 games. They've never played this long before. And you've got to figure out a way to kind of fight through those dog days of winter. I'm still very high on the Grizzlies. I really like Ja Morant a lot. Rough opening game to start the second half for this team last night, but we'll still be keeping a very close eye on Memphis over the last 2 months of the regular season.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, that's why they call it a process in the NBA, right? And teams will, you know, do good in the regular season. Then they'll make the playoffs and get bounced in the first round. Yeah. Then the next year, you know, they'll go a little bit further. I do believe that the Grizzlies still are kind of ahead of schedule,
absolutely,
Jared. You know what I mean?
They're a playoff team right now, Dane, which is
exactly.
You never would have thought that.
You would not have thought that. So the arrow continues to point up. But, you know, we put the kibosh on them, unfortunately. Jared, the other thing I want to check us on. We were talking about the East yesterday and in the futures market, and in essence, we were both looking to beat Milwaukee, right?
Yep.
We, even though Milwaukee was like minus 150 to win the East, we were throwing them out. Are we crazy, Jared? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because look, the Bucks
go
in, they win by 20. I know it's Detroit. I know it's not a big deal, right? But Giannis goes 33-16. But my narrative is that it's the people that are not named Giannis, right? And when I see Middleton go for 28, 4-for-5 from three, when I see Lopez and Bledsoe, you know, all contributing, both Lopez's, right? And I see these guys still be able to shoot. Maybe they can string together 4 out of 7 with these guys, with Giannis and the rest. You know, are we not giving people like Bledsoe, like Middleton, like Wesley Matthews and others, Connaughton, are we not giving them enough credit? Are they the perfect kind of role-playing chemistry guys that the Raptors had last year that are important for championships? We're in this day and age where we always think it takes a big three, right? Or it takes whatever, the Batman and Robin. This is Giannis and a whole bunch of role players who know their job and do it well. Jared, are we looking past them too quickly?
I'll say this. First of all, the Bucks are a really good team.
Yeah.
They're a really good team top to bottom. And I don't want to take anything away from my thoughts on how good Milwaukee is at their peak with Giannis playing his game like he did last night inside and outside and all of the role players contributing. That being said, when we're talking about the betting markets, I just can't lay juice on a team to win the Eastern Conference in February. There's just too many unknowns. Giannis could walk outside today, trip, and you know, trip on his driveway, and then he's out for the year. Like to me, a futures bet needs to have juice coming back to me, or else there's really no value there. And especially when we're talking about a 3 or 4 month stretch between when I make the bet and when it cashes, that intrinsic value of time. There's so many things that can happen. You need to get the most bang for your buck. And right now, the Bucks, no pun intended, they're not a good price to make a bet for the futures market. There are other teams that have a better price attached to them that have, in my opinion, a similar chance to beat Milwaukee in a 7-game series, where let's say we get the Celtics at 8-1 to win the East,
right,
or 7-1, whatever it was. I think it was 7 or 8, somewhere in that range yesterday, mm-hmm, when we talked about it. when they face the Bucks in the conference finals, they are not going to be 7 or 8 to 1. It's going to be 2 to 1. So the Bucks in that series are going to be -150, just like they are today. So you know, -200. It's those odds are not going to change. So when you're telling me, are the Bucks being overlooked by us? Of course they are, because they're the best team in the East. But when it comes to the betting markets, we have to give out the price that best fits what the team is going to be capable of. And right now, Milwaukee's price is not indicative of something I want to lay for the next 3 months.
No, I think that's a great point, Jared. And remember, here in the sports investing world, it's about the value, right?
Yeah, it's about the number. We don't bet teams. We bet numbers.
That's right. We respect Milwaukee. But I'm just not laying -150 on it. It makes no sense, right? It's similar. Jared, remember earlier in the week we were talking about the Tua, where will Tua land, right? And Miami was like -110. We were looking for the options that were plausible, that represented value.
And the Chargers were the one at 2.5 to 1.
Chargers, I mentioned the Panthers as well. I think
that was actually the most interesting one there.
And that's the point, right? Like, listen, and that's the novice better. Right, Jared? What the novice better does, they love the overs, they love the favorites. They wind up laying points all the time. And you could go ahead and do that, but the real money is made with these plus numbers, with these dogs. That's the way to really, you know, stack chips over the course of time. It's not about necessarily the outcome. It's about that versus the value in what you think is happening, wherever the gap is between what they're laying as the actual spread or as the actual odds, and then what you think will happen. It's called EV, people. Expect value. But in any event, we talked about the NBA. We talked about college a lot also, as we start heading into conference tournaments, as we start ultimately heading into March. And one of the things we have been talking about, Jared, and I know Joe mentions this as well, is how hard it is, Jared, to go on the road in conference and get a victory. I'm going to be looking for these spots the rest of the season, Jared. This idea of when I see a home dog in conference and they're like an above 500 team, I'm going to be laying them. There's a few examples of them that happened last night. The first one I want to get into real quick, out west, the Ducks go down at Arizona State by 5 points. It doesn't matter that they got that little number next to their name, Jared.
Oregon's a very interesting team. I actually think they have a chance to run the table in the NCAA tournament because of Peyton Pritchard, and he's about the toughest player you'll see. He got into foul trouble early on last night, and they kind of just couldn't overcome that. They were down 11 early. So I think Oregon's a lot better than what that scoreline indicated last night, because Pritchard only played about two-thirds of the minutes that he normally does. But you're right. Aside from the Big East, Dane, going on the road in conference play, it's a kiss of death. The Big East seems to be the opposite.
Doesn't matter.
Teams are tougher on the road for some reason.
Well, it is the big curse in the Big Ten, and we'll cover what happened there tonight on the side of the break. The early line. Get on the grid.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Welcome back to the early line here on Sports Grid. Dane Martinez and Jared Smith holding you down as we go into what should be a big time weekend. The NBA back in full swing. Huge college basketball matchups over the weekend. We'll look at some of those in a little bit. But, Jared, you know, XFL in the next hour, and we'll even preview the league baseball division. And I hear they'll be throwing them bows on Saturday night in Vegas as well. One game we got to talk about, you know, Jared, we've talked about the Big Ten, right? And how they may get, what, 10, 11, 12 teams into the Big And one of the things we have seen all season long is that it is very tough to go on the road in this conference and get a W. Ohio State tried last night. They were unsuccessful. They had been starting to put it back together. Remember this. A top 10 team, I believe, towards the beginning of the season, kind of defecated the mattress out the gate, was starting to get rolling, but they go into Ames, Iowa yesterday and go down 85-76. Big night out of Iowa from Garza, 24 points, 6 rebounds. Just, Jared, what do you think, Matt, you know, in this conference where they're beating each other up, is that ultimately a good thing for them as they see others in March Madness?
I think the Big Ten is top to bottom the best conference in the country. I think the Big 12 is better at the top than the Big Ten is, and I think the Big East is the deepest in terms of the Big East goes 6 deep, where they can all be Sweet 16, Elite 8 teams. The Big Ten, I think the Big Ten probably has 10 or 15, you know, 10 to 12 tournament teams, but the bottom of that conference, though, you know, teams 8 through 12 there are not very dangerous because they just have too many holes. And you're right, over the course of the long season, that wear and tear kind of takes its toll. The Big East is a bit of a different animal. It's a smaller league. The teams play each other a little bit more, so there's a little more tightness at the top because these teams are very, very familiar with each other by the end of the season, where they all play each other twice. In the Big Ten, you don't play each other twice. Some teams do, but not everybody. The Big 12, I think, has Kansas and Baylor and then everyone else. So it's a unique landscape this year. We talked to Ian Eagle yesterday on the morning after, and he said in his 20, 25 years of doing the tournament, he doesn't remember a landscape like this where basically on March 1st, which is, you know, in a few days, we're not going to really have a clear-cut favorite. We're going to have no idea. In fact, I think the clear-cut favorite is the Gonzaga Bulldogs, which is kind of surprising based on what we've seen. And they put together a second half for the ages last night. They were on the ropes a little bit against the Dons last night. The old Don Corleones were giving the Bulldogs the business in the first half. And then Gonzaga just dropped, I think, a 50-burger or like a 45 spot in the second half and ran away with that one. I do think, and there's your final score, 71-54. Gonzaga gets it done. The easy pick in that Iowa game was the over, and I gave this out on Twitter. I gave this out on the morning after. Iowa's the perfect over team because they love to score and they love to shoot the three and they don't love to defend. Ohio State, they got off to an awful start in that game. If they shot it maybe 5 or 10% better in the opening half, they probably win that game last night because they came together in the second half. They outscored Iowa 41-39 in the second half. The Wesson brothers are really good. Ohio State's a dangerous team. Ohio State's a very dangerous team. Chris Altman's a good coach, and the Big Ten is very deep. I think any one of these teams in the Big Ten, from Michigan State on down to Ohio State, and I put all these teams in the middle, even a Rutgers, even an Iowa, even a Penn State, even an Illinois, I think can make a little bit of noise in the NCAA tournament. On the other side of the coin, the Big 12, I think, is the most fascinating league because of what we're going to see on Saturday. There's not another league in the country that has a top five duo like Kansas and Baylor who could both be number one seeds in the NCAA tournament. So it's a unique landscape. The Big 12 is very top heavy. The Big East is very thick, meaning the top six could all make a run. And the Big 10 is just deep. 1 through 12, they're all kind of interchangeable parts. So it's a fascinating league. I don't think the national champion comes from the Big Ten. I think it comes from the Big 12 or somebody else. And by somebody else, I mean a Dayton, a San Diego State, a Gonzaga, one of those teams. So it is a very interesting landscape. The Big Ten, as always, a very tough league. I just don't trust the depth. Team 6 through 12 that are going to be in the tournament, I just don't think they can make deep runs.
Yeah, so let me try and put this all together, Jared, because I find it hysterical, right, that in the ACC, they may only get 4 or 5 teams, and, you know, the Duke, the Florida State, the Louisville. Louisville is not, you know, something's up with them right now. You know, Florida State and Duke, maybe they can get to an Elite Eight from the East, you know, but it is going to be very interesting. I want to try to put together one of the things you said about Gonzaga, who, by the way, you know, had a huge game against San Francisco last night, with this concept of going on the road in conference. You're talking about Kansas and Baylor on Saturday, and that's cool. I want to get your thoughts on that. But another game on Saturday that's going to be interesting is these Gonzaga Bulldogs going to BYU. BYU is the number 23 team in the country. They beat Santa Clara last night at home by 10. They're 11-3 in conference, Jared, and they host the Zags on Saturday. My question for you is, which one is the trump card here? Is it that you can't go on the road and win in conference these days, or that Gonzaga is the elite and a cut above? How do you think this Zags-BYU game on Saturday shakes out? Well, could they stumble on the road at BYU on Saturday? San Diego State will certainly be watching that game.
Yeah, no, and you know, this is the biggest game for BYU since back in 2010 or 2011 when that Jimmer Fredette team hosted Kawhi Leonard in San Diego State. And I hate to say it, but I think the Cougs are going to go down pretty hard in this game. They just don't have the defense to keep up with Gonzaga. If Gonzaga's offense is clicking on all cylinders, I don't think there's a defense in the country that can stop them. I really don't. And again, this is a Gonzaga team that has shown in the big moments sometimes they shrink a little bit. So that is something to keep an eye on. But Killian Tilly and Philip Petrusev. And usually when we think about March, we think about guards. These are bigs that play like guards. And that's scary to me. That's scary to me when you've got these two guys, these big two tall trees that can step out, shoot the three. They've got the Euro game. It's a very Gonzaga-esque team. Think about Logan Morrison's game back in the day.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
That's what these guys bring to the table, and they've got two of them. And we all know about Killian Tilly. He's the name brand. But I yearn you to go to YouTube and look up some highlights of Philip Petrusev. This cat can ball. And this is a team that when they get rolling on offense, and we saw it last night, they got a slow start against San Francisco. They were at home, a little sleepy. Then all of a sudden in the second half, it's just like pow. And they absolutely blitzed the Dons right out of their gym in Spokane last night. And I'm fascinated to see if they can bring that energy, that intensity, that focus to the table against a very good, very tested BYU team. But again, if Gonzaga is clicking on all cylinders, it doesn't matter where they play. They're gonna drop 75-80 on you. And unless your offense can keep up, this is going to be a really tough. I'm telling you, Gonzaga, this, if not this year, then when for Gonzaga?
Exactly.
This is the year for them. We talked about it yesterday. They have all the pieces in place, and unlike some of these other teams in college basketball that are more defensive-minded, if you were going to ask me the best teams in college basketball, Dayton aside, who has the second-best offense in college hoops, Dayton aside, San Diego State, Kansas, Baylor, those are defensive-minded teams. Gonzaga is the one team that can spread you out with 6'7" slash guard forwards all over the floor and just bombs away. This is a very dangerous team. Mark Few's been down this road before.
Yeah.
They've got the talent. They've got the pedigree. I really think this Gonzaga team, if you were going to ask me all of the favorites right now in college hoops, I'm taking the Bulldogs to win it all.
I'm with you, Jared. And if you look at those people, our friends at FanDuel, they have the Gonzaga Bulldogs right now as the second choice to win it all at 9-1. Interestingly enough, the first choice is the last game I want to talk about over the weekend. It is it's the main event. Okay, number 3 Kansas and number 1 Baylor renew their rivalry. Baylor got it done, I believe, at Allen Fieldhouse, earlier
correct,
in the season.
By 12.
So this is an opportunity for revenge, Jared. You know, you talked about thinking the champion comes out of the Big 12. It's going to be one of these two guys. You got to think, how do you see Jayhawks Bears playing out on Saturday?
Fascinating stuff. The first thing I need to know is Maceo Teague, the very talented, another one of those talented guards for Baylor. They don't have a ton of scoring. He's one of the guys they need. I think it's an injured wrist. And he did not play against Oklahoma the other night. They need him back in the lineup.
Interesting.
Yeah, they need him back in the lineup in order to kind of complete the circle of that offense.
Right.
Because Kansas is the best defensive team in the nation, according to KenPom. And we talked about this earlier in the week. When we're grading teams in March, KenPom is the judge, jury, and executioner in terms of how well you can defend and how efficiently you can score the basketball. And when I look at this Kansas team, number 1 in scoring defense, they're also a pretty decent offense too, 11. We talked about the efficiency on both sides. Kansas is one of those teams that gets it done on both ends of the floor. Baylor, a great defense, third overall, but 22nd in offense. So just a little, you know, that's still really good, but it's not quite as efficient as this Kansas team. So when you look at this game top to bottom, surprisingly enough, it's going to be basically a pick 'em. And I think the winner of this game is a lock to get a one seed in the NCAA tournament. And we're still seeing Kansas at plus money to be a one seed. So if you trust the formula of what we've seen in the Big 12 this year, if this game's a pick 'em and it's minus 110 on the money line, why wouldn't, if you like Kansas, why wouldn't you just bet Kansas at plus money to be a one seed? If they win this game on Saturday, they are going to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament, no doubt about it. So,
what if they won on Saturday, Jared, but then lose to Baylor in like the finals of the Big 12 tournament?
That doesn't matter to me. I think both teams would be a one in that case. Because, I think the landscape of the college basketball tournament, the NCAA tournament, is changing. But from what I can recall and what we've seen in years past, the tournament committee takes into account the regular season a little bit more. They judge it a little bit more than, say, you're losing in the Big 12 tournament championship game. So I think if Kansas wins on Saturday, wins the Big 12 regular season, they're a lock to get a one seed, regardless of what happens in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, they could be rounding into form after their suspensions with a chip on their shoulder. Rock Chalk Jayhawk will be more. Hour number two on Sports Grid. It's the Early Line with Dane and Jared. Come on back.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of Cal Hope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call Cal Hope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.